At 8:23, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. Today is the last day to vote early before Saturday's municipal runoff elections across North Texas. Among them, the Dallas School Board, Justin Henry, incumbent Bernadette Nuttall are competing for the District 9 seat. There are runoffs for mayor of Flower Mound and Lancaster, as well as city council runoffs in Lancaster and several other cities. There's also a school board race to settle in the Grapevine-Colleyville School District. A federal court ruling today will determine whether Dallas-based AT&T can buy Time Warner. The U.S. Justice Department last year sued to stop that merger. The agency says the $85 billion deal would hurt consumers by driving up prices. However, both companies say they need to combine forces to compete with video streaming services like Netflix and Amazon. Time Warner owns HBO, CNN, and TNT, as well as the Warner Brothers movie studio. Many campuses across the country now conduct active shooter drills, but because school shootings are often perpetrated by students at those schools, some have raised concerns about whether the drills give potential shooters too much inside information. KERA's Bill Zeeble reports.
Schools conduct all kinds of safety drills. Beginning in the 1950s, triggered by the threat of nuclear explosion, Bert the cartoon turtle taught kids to
duck and cover, duck and cover.
Drills are designed to enhance safety. What if they do the opposite? Texas Governor Greg Abbott implied that last month when he introduced his school and firearm safety plan.
As a teacher explained to me, she said that when the fire alarms went off in Santa Fe, it compelled teachers and students to react the way they were trained, and that is to exit the classroom, go into the hallway, and try to exit the school. Well, as soon as they went into the hallway, they encountered gunfire from the shooter.
In several school shootings across the country, student shooters pulled fire alarms to create panic and send victims from the classroom into their gunfire. In other words, they took advantage of their fire drill knowledge.
Are we to not have fire drills anymore? No, of course not.
Patrick Patterson is a criminal justice professor at Eastfield College in Mesquite. And he says schools should also continue conducting active shooter drills.
But it's really the nature of the beast. And we're hoping that a lot of times these active shooters don't think that far in ahead, you know, in advance to say, well, we're going to do it this way because we know exactly where they're going to go.
Alex Picaro says school shooters often don't think that far ahead. He's a criminology professor at the University of Texas at Dallas.
My sense is that an individual who wants to wreak harm and havoc on a school or wants to wreak harm and havoc in a shopping mall or a movie theater, that individual has a certain train of thought and wants to do something, and they were going to do it regardless of the knowledge of the drills or non-drills.
Picaro says there is a way to find out what advantage, if any, shooters get from active shooter drills. Ask them.
There is no research that documents a level of detail asking shooters whether they have sought out particular targets because they have had certain kinds of drills or not certain kinds of drills.
With little or no research, elected officials, educators, and law enforcement are trying out the best new, if untested, safety ideas. Governor Abbott's plan offered the option of an active shooter alarm, different from other school alarms.
And so there needs to be a way to distinguish from a fire alarm, which compels one strategy, which is to exit schools, and then a different type of alarm system for an active shooter situation in which most schools train, that you find ways to bunker down into your classroom.
Dallas School District Superintendent Michaelina Hosa likes that idea.
It has a different tone, a different duration, alerts everybody, okay, this is where we're going now. Of course, all of our people need to get trained on that, which takes a little bit of time, but that's something that's very doable that shouldn't be too expensive for us to pull off.
Still, this is just one of many ideas. Even if schools install a shooter alarm, that won't stop a future school shooter from pulling a fire alarm anyway. Abbott says his plan is only a starting point and a spark to launch more conversations to improve school safety across the state. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
Cities across the nation will host LGBTQ pride events this month. Washington, D.C. is one of the largest. In town to broadcast from NPR headquarters, the think team talked with people at last weekend's Capitol Pride March.
I'm Emily Kotler, and I'm from Silver Spring, Maryland. I'm a cis bisexual woman. The first pride that I can remember was in New York right after the Marriage Equality Act passed. And it was a time where I had just started to become comfortable with my identity. And it was really cool and really affirming to be in a crowd surrounded by so many other queer people.
My name's Daniel, and I'm from Las Vegas, Nevada. Like, gender non-binary, like, just kind of in the middle, hanging out. It's easy to feel like you're not being represented, especially when there's so many different shades underneath this spectrum. But you just have to kind of take pride in it and understand that it is for you. There's no, like, you're not allowed to be in this group. Like, it's literally for everyone.
My name is Kayla Strong, and I'm from Washington, D.C. I identify as bi-gender, non-binary, and also pansexual. Trans individuals are often sort of pushed at the back burner, not really respected, not really listened to.
Robert Goldstraw, and I'm from Washington, D.C. I self-identify as Bob. I don't think of anything having to do with the fact that I'm gay. I mean, it's not a big surprise. There's a lot that's changed and a lot that hasn't when you're talking about women, transgender people, people of color. I think there's a need to actively seek to have certain, you know, segments of society, gay or straight, more directly and heavily involved.
Sherry Klein, and I'm from Washington, D.C. I guess I'm lesbian in a relationship for 22 years, female. Pride, and when we say the word gay in America generally, this is a really big generalization, often means white men. I think any marginalized group has a more of a responsibility actually to make room for others who are marginalized.
More of Chris Boyd's conversation about pride at think.kera.org. She'll talk with former National Intelligence Director James Clapper today at noon.